From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy.
I'll pip you, Bergen, so help me, I'll mow you down.
It's Sunday night, and time again, transcribed for Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, with Mortimer Slurge, Effie Clinker, Carol Richards, Ray Noble, Jack Kirkwood, Rudy Whistler, the Mellow Men, yours truly, John Easton, and our special guest, author of Woman Alone Around the World, Miss Virginia Cox Smith. And here they are, the stars of our show, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Ah, yes, again I repeat. Oh, inga, povinga, hoon hair, so sure.
No. Anyone from Milltown?
No. Charlie, you have no idea how thrilled I was at being able to sing on the show last week.
You were?
Yes.
You were all alone.
Yeah. Oh, what a song and how I did it.
Yeah, how you did it, I don't know.
Tell the truth, Charlie. Doesn't my singing get you right here?
No, it gets me a little lower than that. Steady, stomach, steady.
Oh. Well, I don't care about your wisecracks. Name one specific thing wrong with my singing, if you can.
Well, I would say, this is constructive, of course.
Yes.
I think your breathing was wrong.
My breathing?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, you were still doing it.
I... Well, you're impossible about my singing, Charlie. You're no encouragement at all.
I don't intend to be. Ray, what did you think of my singing?
Well, Edgar, old boy, last week's show was picked up by Shortwave in England.
Good.
Oh, yes. I just received comments on it by the British press.
Oh, that I should like to hear.
Let us hear. What did they say? Did they dig him over there?
Oh, I will, Charlie. I'll read it to you. Yes.
Read.
The Ray Noble show was frightfully jolly this week.
The Ray Noble show?
Oh, of course.
That must have suffered him being short-waved a little.
Yeah. What does it say about my singing, Ray?
Well, I'm getting to it, Edgar.
Interesting part.
It says, I read here, Ray Noble's music was unequaled as usual.
My singing.
Please. No, Ray Noble's music.
Yes.
Was unequaled as usual.
Oh, sure.
Yes. But an attempt was made by one Edward Bergler to vocalize.
Edward Bergler.
Yes. You're famous over there, too, Mr. Bergler.
Yeah. Now, you can scoff if you want to, you fellas, but CBS tells me my fan mail has doubled since my singing debut last week.
Yeah? You don't say. Doubled.
Doubled.
However, are you going to answer both of those letters? Yeah.
I got the mail right here with me, and we'll see what the public has to say about my singing. I'll open this one first here.
All right. Give us a poultice of it.
Yes, I will. It says right here.
Yeah, it says.
Yes. It says,
Yeah, what?
Well, here's another one.
Oh, another one.
Yeah.
I say, just look at this one.
What?
Maybe it's not fair to criticize Edgar Bergen's singing because we heard it under bad conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Our radio was turned on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you fellas, it's perfectly simple. You're picking out only the bad ones.
Oh,
now, listen to this one. I think Edgar Bergen's singing is wonderful.
Yeah?
Yeah. My name is Willie, and I'm in the third grade. Oh. I'm in the third grade. I am 27 years old. Oh,
yeah. Even your relatives are writing in, huh?
Yeah.
I do like this one.
I dare you.
Yes. Dear Edgar Bergen, for a long time I have been weak and listless, but after hearing you sing last Sunday, I was able to stand up and break my radio.
Yeah, okay. Here's a beaut. Dear Twitchy Tonsils, that's you, Bergen.
Yeah.
As a singer, no one comes near you, but nobody comes near us either. Signed, the Limburger Cheese Packers of America.
Must be getting to the favorable ones here soon. say, wait till you hear this one. I like this one.
What does it say?
It's from a girlfriend of mine back in Wisconsin. Dear Eddie boy, I've fallen in love with you all over again since you started singing. Please send me a lock of your hair or I shall die.
Well, we all gotta go sometime.
Well, at least I made one conquest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen to the rest of this. Oh, Eddie boy, do you realize how many years I've waited for you?
Yeah, I'll read the P.S., though.
Oh, yes, P.S. I forgot to mention before that I haven't waited alone. To while away the time, my husband and I have raised a family of seven.
One way to keep from getting lonesome.
Yeah. Well, I'm not discouraged.
No, you're stubborn.
Yeah, I am. As you know, Gary Crosby has left for a tour to Australia.
Yeah.
And I intend to sing on this show again this week. How about it?
Sounds like the Russian delegation at the UN, doesn't it? Are you convinced, Thurgood?
Definitely not. Ray, will you accompany me?
I'm sorry, old boy. What? I shall not act as your accomplice again.
Oh.
Good day, sir.
What are you going to do? Why, this is terrible. Poor Ray.
He took the easy way out. He killed himself.
I say, dash it all, I miss.
Oh.
And, you know, I held the gun right at my temple.
No, just our luck. The bullet probably went through that hole in your head. Oh.
Well, I still intend to sing tonight. Nothing you say will discourage me.
Well, I hate to tell you this, Bergen, but I went to CBS and signed Rudy Whistler to sing on the show.
Rudy Whistler?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. How about me?
Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, well, I don't understand. They have to pay Rudy Whistler to sing. I would sing free.
Well, you're still overpriced. Ladies and gentlemen, in answer to your many letters, we are bringing back to the show a very talented young singer, Rudy Whistler. And all of us here on the show are dedicating our first number to you, Bergen. It's called Without You.
Oh, I see.
Sing, Rudy.
They hold you. My arms. what they've told you. This world you made for me would crumble suddenly.
Portion of our program, our Poet's Corner. Poetry lovers all over the country will be thrilled, I'm sure, when they hear who our guest of honor is tonight. It gives me great pleasure to introduce the Poet Laureate of the BVD Shorts Company, Professor Ralph Waldo Kirkwood.
Professor, you're Poet Laureate of the BVD Company.
Yes. Uh-huh. I had to put the pot in something, boy.
Yes. Well, anyway, I must say it is an honor, a dubious honor, to have a poetic genius such as you on our show, Professor. You are indeed a poetic genius.
Yes, that's right. Yes, indeed. I'll have you know that I'm as great a poet as Shelley, Byron, and Keats, all lumped into one.
Yes, and I can say you do make quite a lump.
Quite a lump. You know what I like about you, Bergen?
What?
Nothing.
Oh, I see.
No flattery, please. Now, tell us, Professor, I hear that you've embarked on a new project. Is this...
No, yes. As I'm now writing advertising jingles for radio.
Oh, you've turned pro. Commercial. Yes. Could you give us an example, or would that be...
Well, I'll try.
Yeah.
Now, here's a little gem I wrote for the Bito Dog Biscuit Company. To keep your dog happy, buy him Bito, the biscuit for which all canines beg. From east to west, all dogs love Bito, because it tastes just like a man's leg.
You put a great... Well... I think what you lack in poetic talent, you make up for in sheer courage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you the nerve to suggest another one? Well, but I'll try. Then I wrote...
Yes.
A wonderful jingle about the Shino Mustache Wax Company.
Oh. Huh.
Better buy Shino Mustache Wax. It's sure to attract the opposite sex.
Oh, no.
Would you put it... On the girls will make a dash to kiss you right on your cute mustache. I think I'll take,
You are not bound by any laws of music or poetry, are you?
The law doesn't catch up with me tonight.
This is the freest of freestyles. That was a sheer something, Professor.
Yes, I know.
But now, isn't it unusual for a poet such as you to be writing advertising jingles?
Oh, I've had to take many awful jobs just to keep body and soul together.
Mm-hmm. Things are really that bad.
Oh, yes, indeed. For a while, I had a job at the racetrack. Mm-hmm. I used to paint buttons on the chests of guys who lost their shirts.
Sounds like a ticklish situation.
Oh, and that's not all.
Oh.
I even had a job as a dragger in a chicken soup factory.
Here's what I'm afraid of.
Dragger in a chicken soup factory?
A dragger, yes.
Every time a 1,000-gallon vat of hot water was ready, I had to drag a chicken through it.
My you have a checkered career, but still you've always returned to your first love, poetry, huh?
Yes.
Now tell me, Professor, have you written any new poetic works, that is, lately, outside of these commercial things?
Yes. Well, I've written several new epic masterpieces. Mm-hmm. Let's see, there's, Wifey Dear, You're the Girl of My Dreams. That's why every night you hear such horrible screams.
Well, I think you have a point there, Professor, but right now it's time for you to read your poem of the week. Do you have one?
No, I most certainly do, boy. I call it Thoughts on a Recent Wedding.
I see. You will just read it, won't you, Professor? Just read it.
I won't write a thing.
Sadder, Professor.
Oh, Grace Kelly has finally wed her Prince Rainier. And I, for one, am ready to give out with a loud, loud cheer. I followed their romance in the papers each day, and now they both promise to honor and obey. They're off upon their honeymoon, the time one holds most dear, but they'll have a news reporter in every chandelier. We've been informed of everything that has been said and done, what they ate, who kissed who, and who tied on a bun. Ah, yes, for weeks I've been reading all about what's transpired. And I don't know about you, but to tell the truth, I'm sick and tired.
Lovely Carol Richards steps into the vocal spotlight to bring us Too Close for Comfort.
Be wise, be smart, behave, my heart. Don't upset your car when he's so close. Be soft, be sweet, but be discreet. Don't go off your beat. He's too close for comfort. Too close for comfort, please, not again. Too close to know just when to say when. Be firm, be fair, be sure, beware. On your guard, take care. While there's such temptation, one thing leads to another. Too late to run for cover. He's much too close for comfort now. Be firm, be fair, be sure, beware. On your guard, take care. While there's such temptation, one thing leads to another. Too late to run for cover. He's much too close for comfort now. Too close, too close. He's much too close for comfort now.
That the Indian love call?
No, it's McCall Bessie's love call. That's a grade A joke.
Well, I'm afraid not. Well, the joke wasn't quite that bad. Is something bothering you?
Yeah, I've got a corn that hurts something awful.
A corn?
Yeah.
Is it your right or left foot?
No, but you're getting warm. It's my toe.
Oh, your toe.
Yeah.
Well, which toe is it that hurts?
Well, it's my youngest one.
Your youngest one, yeah.
You know, the one that's smaller than all the others.
Oh,
I think it's number six, yeah.
How did you get this corn?
Well, I'll tell you, I was hiking and I got lost in the woods.
You got lost?
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah, it's embarrassing. Yes, it is.
You're a Boy Scout, aren't you?
Yes, I am, yeah. Yes, I am, but that didn't stop me. No, I didn't. I tried to join the Girl Scouts, but they seem to be a very exclusive outfit.
Did you have a compass with you? After all, remember Scout's motto?
What?
Well, you know.
Oh, I don't know.
B.
What?
B.
B, yeah. Well, that's pretty good, yeah. Easy to remember. It's short.
No, it's B what?
Oh, bebop?
No. That's crazy.
Yeah, but it's cool.
Yeah. So a scout's motto is you know, be prepared.
Oh, yeah. Be what?
Be prepared.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. For what?
For anything.
Oh, well, that narrows it down a little, yeah.
If you were lost...
And I were.
Yeah. If you were lost, why did you climb a tree and find your bearings?
What?
Climb a tree.
Well,
find your bearings.
Find my bearings. Well, I guess that would have been a good idea. I didn't know which tree they was in, but...
No. When you realized you were lost...
Yeah. Now, let's hush up out there now. Bunch of city slickers here.
When you realized you were lost?
Yes, I did.
The first thing, what was the first thing that you did?
Well, the first thing I did was I held up a wet finger.
Is that so?
Yeah.
And what did you learn from that?
Well, those are little things you pick up, you know.
What did you learn from holding up a wet finger?
Well, if it stays wet, I knew it was still raining.
No reason to get lost, no reason at all. All you have to do is know your directions.
Well, which one do you mean? Like shake well before using? No.
I mean like north, south, east, west.
Oh, them, yes. All except February, which is 38. Oh, that's another one.
You can tell the directions by the sun. The sun always rises in the east, and then in the evening the sun sets where?
Well, the same place I sit, back of me, yeah.
Do it this way. No. We're facing north.
Well, that's nice, yeah.
Now, what's on your right side?
Well, I got a little mole there.
No, I don't. Well, let's see. There are other ways of telling direction. Do you know which side of the tree the moss grows on?
Well, I'd say on the outside.
Well,
on the north side. Oh, north side, yeah. I bet my mole is prettier than the moss.
Well, we... If you were really lost...
And I really was lost.
Why didn't you send up smoke signals?
Well, I can't wait that long.
What do you mean?
Well, I promised Grandpa I wouldn't smoke until I was 21. Tell you
what. What did you do when night fell?
I just let it lay there. I didn't want
to... In the woods after dark, they're wild animals.
Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah, well, that's it. You're supposed to light a fire to keep the animals away.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course.
Did you do it?
No, I didn't do that. But they lit some to keep me away.
Oh, they did. But one thing you should always remember, if a wild animal chases you, all you have to do is lie down and play dead.
Play dead?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah. Are you sure the wild animals know how to play this game? Oh.
Do you know anything at all, Mortimer, about the life in the raw?
Well, I should. I started it that way. Yeah. Well, I will say I was wearing a little mole, that's all. I'd still like to show it to you. All right.
Well, I've got
better run along. Well, what about me? Oh, I don't know. Just get lost. Well, here we go again. Up, corns. The Edgar Bergen Hour, transcribed with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Carol Richards, Rudy Whistler, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Men, and Ray Noble, will be back after station identification. Mortimer Snerd, Rudy Whistler, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Man, Ray Noble, and yours truly, John Heaston. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the season of awards. The movies have presented their Oscars, TV has presented its Emmys, and we're proud to announce that our singing group, the Mellow Man, has been honored, too. For their music that makes you tap your feet, they have been presented with a Dr. Scholl Cornpad Award of the Week. They are the Mellow Men.
I need your love.
I need your love.
Please won't you love me?
Love me do.
How can I melt?
How can I melt?
Your heart of stone.
Your heart of stone.
How can you think?
How can you
I never know.
Give me your love.
Won't
To bring you our women's department. And here is our guest speaker of the evening. May I present our answer to Bridie Murphy, Miss Effie Clinker, who hopes she had plenty of loving in her former life because she isn't getting much of it in this one, Miss Clinker.
Oh, isn't he a doll? How about you and me getting hypnotized together, dearie?
Oh, Effie.
I'll go into a trance with anyone in pants.
All right. Miss Clinker, please. Now, do you have any interesting things to tell us this week?
No, plenty.
Yeah.
Wait till I tell you about the hot gossip I heard at our Women's Culture and Tackle Club.
Culture and Tackle Club?
Yeah.
Yeah. So far, I've heard nothing about your club but gossip.
No, but it's good gossip.
Yeah, yeah. Don't you ever do anything else? Anything cultural?
Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, sure. Oh, I must say we're lousy with culture.
We are?
We got that.
Yes.
We have inspiring lectures on such educational subjects as the scandal magazines and how to get in them.
Oh, no.
No, Miss Sandy.
Yes, yes.
And I love the lecture on secrets of wine cookery.
Oh, wine cookery?
Yes, or how to get potted among your pants.
Ah. I see.
Well, after the lecture, we couldn't.
Yeah.
We gave out samples.
Yeah, all right. Well, that sounds very informative.
Oh, yes, we liked it.
Yes.
And then also they had a delightful lecture on the love life of the mashed potato.
Oh. Love life of the mashed potato.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Oh, you'd be surprised what goes on under that gravy.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I think you're pulling my leg.
I never came near you.
All right. I say, Miss Clinker.
Yeah.
I've been listening. Miss Clinker, I've been listening to the conversation, you know, and I wondered, may I join your club?
Well, our club is for women.
Well, I'm for women.
Oh. I don't know. I think I prefer the mashed potato.
No.
But really, Miss Clinker, old thing, I thought I might lecture for your club.
Yeah?
Yes, well, after all, I'd been to the four corners of the earth.
Four corners? Oh, you've been there, have you? I see. That's what made you such a square, I guess.
Ray, just what kind of a lecture would you give at this club?
Well, Edgar, my title would be Butterfly Chasing.
Oh?
My experience on both sides of the net.
Oh, I see.
You sort of have to pick it out. It's there if you find it.
Yes.
I wish they'd drop it on him now.
Yes. Effie, what other activities do you have? Do you follow art?
Well, I may have. They never give me their names.
No. I was referring to the art of painting.
Oh, that old one.
Yes. Tell me, Effie, what is your favorite form of art?
Well, I like it tattooed on a sailor.
I do.
Pictures.
Yeah. I must say that your information is scattered, but quite thorough.
Yeah.
You have a large.
What?
I see you have a large agenda.
Oh no, it's just the style of this dress.
Oh, it is. Well, I'll take your word for it. Now, Effie, before you leave. Do you have any word of advice to our audience?
Yes, I do. A little advice to married couples. Never waste household scraps. Open the windows and let the neighbors hear them, too.
Uh, And now here's Rudy Wessler again, bringing us the message that Lulu's back in town.
Gotta get my old tuxedo press. Gotta sew a button on my vest, 'cause tonight I gotta look my best. Lulu's back in town. I gotta find a half a buck somewhere. Polish up my shoes and slick my hair. Gotta get myself a boutonniere. Lulu's back in town. You can tell all my pets, all my blondes and brunettes, Mr. Otis regrets that he won't be around. You can tell the mailman not to call. I ain't a-coming home until the fall, and I might not get back home at all. Lulu's back in town. Gotta get my old tuxedo pressed. Gotta sew a button on my vest, 'cause tonight I gotta look my best. Lulu's back in town. I gotta get a half a buck somewhere. Polish up my shoes and I'll slick my hair. Gotta get myself a boutonniere. Lulu's back in town. You can tell all my pets, all my blondes and brunettes, Mr. Otis regrets that he ain't gonna be around. You can tell the mailman not to call. I ain't a-coming home until the fall. I might not get back home at all. Lulu's back in town. So when all those little gals come knocking at my door, you can tell them that the whistler won't be home no more. Call Lulu. Lulu's back in town.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now present our Meet the People department. Our guest tonight is a Hollywood motion picture secretary who took an 8-month leave of absence from her job and made a trip alone around the world. After returning to her position, she wrote and published a book about her experiences, Woman Alone Around the World. I'd like you to meet Virginia Cox Smith.
Well, Virginia, we're very happy to have you with us this evening. You know, I've done a bit of traveling myself. I've never known an attractive woman who took a trip around the world alone.
I was told that only an American woman would dare to do such a thing. But although I've traveled alone, I couldn't have had more fun than they showed me if I'd been flanked with companions.
Well, how did you happen to take this trip, Virginia?
I inherited a little money and had to decide whether to save it for my old age or to do what I'd always wanted to do. Take a trip around the world.
Mm-hmm. So you got reckless and decided to shoot the works.
Yes, but once in my life I decided to practice doing with things instead of doing without them, and I haven't regretted it.
Well, now, Virginia, on your trip you had an opportunity of meeting men from many countries. Did you find them different in their treatment of women?
Yes, Frenchmen, I'd say, are most charming and make an art of love.
Yes.
Englishmen understate their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Italians are effusive. And men and women in Sweden share in a 50-50 arrangement where frequently the women pay their own way.
Yeah. Good old Sweden, good old Sweden.
In the Middle and Far East, men really rule, and women gain their highest respect only by bearing sons.
What did other women think about American men?
Oh, you fellas do quite well.
Yes.
In fact, women in other parts of the world seem to value our men more than we do. They like the way you treat us.
Yes. Yes, I've often felt that we're not fully appreciated at home. I was thinking of getting ready for a trip anyhow. Well, tell me about your romances. You must have had some interesting ones.
Well, there was a little flurry here and there.
Mm-hmm.
My first was with a brilliant, delightful Swedish doctor on the 30-day ocean voyage.
Is that so? You run into those Swedes all over, don't you?
And in Switzerland, a man was attentive to me who spoke only French. He wrote poems to me about every day, and I had to translate them and try to answer them.
Hmm. And then there were, did you say there were some proposals?
Well, sort of.
Pudgy.
In Athens, a man asked me to marry him. Not for a girl's money, he said, but just for a hobby.
Yeah.
Well, at least he wasn't mercenary about it.
Oh, no.
I knew the Greeks had a word for it, but I didn't know it was hobby.
Well, he introduced me to his friend who also asked me to marry him.
Oh, that was good work there. Where were you then? In Hobby Lobby then on this business?
Well, frankly, Edgar, I think all either of them wanted was a ride into the United States on my American passport.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm a little disappointed. That doesn't sound too romantic. Virginia, let's talk a little about women for a moment. After observing them in other parts of the world, what would you say is one of the faults that our American women are making?
Trying to rule you men, I think.
Oh, yes, yes. Say that louder, my dear. Are you listening, Francis?
So many wives say they're going to let their husbands do this or that. And it's a giveaway because let isn't an expression of freedom. It's an admission of control. Very few women of other nationalities would be guilty of it.
Virginia, I understand that you went to school for 3 months at the University of Geneva. In that city, there is a rather remarkable international school for children. It started, I believe, during World War II when people from many countries were living in Switzerland. Did you have a chance to visit that?
Yes, and it's what the schools of the future ought to be. Everything is taught from the world viewpoint instead of from the nationalistic or local approach.
I see. Everybody who travels has a special fondness for certain spots now, and I'm sure that you're no exception to that.
Well, in Switzerland and the Scandinavian countries, I enjoyed them most for their beauty and for the mysterious and exotic. I loved Istanbul and Bangkok.
I see. And, of course, you no doubt ran across some customs that you wanted to bring back and introduce here. I know I always come back with several new ideas.
Yes, I'd be in favor of more leisure. Those afternoon siestas.
Yes.
Those two-hour luncheons. The long, friendly family dinners.
Yes. And while in Europe, I never hear diet mentioned, do you?
No, thank heavens. They're honest. They take the size and shape of a woman as is.
And there's nothing false about them, is there?
Only here in America are we expected to starve and exercise until we become shapeless garment hangers.
Yeah. Virginia, how did your book, A Woman Alone Around the World, come about? Did it start by keeping a diary, or how?
No, I sent back a letter of reports to friends so that they could share the journey with me, and when I returned home, they urged me to edit them into a book, which I did. And as a matter of fact, it opened a new life for me because I now appear before women's clubs and organizations talking about the trip and showing my films and so on.
Yes. Well, I guess in this country, perhaps more than anywhere else in the world, we work hard for success, but usually it amounts to making money, and there's a lot more to living than that, don't you think?
Yes, and seeing how the rest of the world lives makes us realize we've got lots to learn. I like to tell women that the word happiness doesn't come from the word happen, but from the word happy. To stop waiting for something to happen and to do something to make themselves happy.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good bit of advice. I hope your book gets on the bestseller list and helps other women alone to get out of the ruts that they've fallen into. We want to thank you, Virginia Cox Smith, for being our guest this evening, and good night.
Thank you.
At long last, there's a smoother taste in smoking. It's the Viceroy taste.
Smoother, 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 Viceroy.
Smoother taste, cause Viceroy has twice as many filters as the other two leading filter cigarettes.
Yes, there's a good reason to change to Viceroy today. It's smoother by far than the cigarette you are now smoking. For Viceroy has 20,000 filters in every tip, made from pure cellulose. Soft, snow-white, natural. That's twice as many filters as the other two largest-selling filter brands. That's why the Viceroy taste is never rough. Never, no, never rough. It's smoother by far than the cigarette you are now smoking. Smoother than any other cigarette in the world.
A smoother taste, cause Viceroy has twice as many filters as the other two leading filter cigarettes.
Smoke smoother, Viceroy.
Oh, college days, oh, knowledge days, when midnight oil was burning in those ivied halls of learning, and Plato in his grave was turning in college.
Now it is time once again for the intellectual portion of our program. This week, our forum of metal giants tangles with one of the major sociological problems of our time as they discuss the subject, whither crime. Ladies and gentlemen, Edgar Bergen and his end table.
Thank you and good evening, honored and esteemed gentlemen of the panel.
What did you call us?
Well, panel. Sounds like panel, esteemed gentlemen of the panel.
Yes, yes. Tonight we are going to discuss the ever-increasing crime rate in this country and the possible means of coping with it. Nespa. Professor Noble, I know that you've studied criminal law, haven't you?
Oh, certainly, yes. Oh, for instance, I know you can't hang the same man twice for the same offense. Pity, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. In your case, I settle for once.
Yeah. The sooner the better.
Gentlemen, let personalities. Nope. Gentlemen, no personalities. Our topic is whether crime.
Oh, yes.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm merely trying to establish your qualifications.
Well, I'll have you know that for years I was a leading defense attorney.
Oh, defense attorney?
Yes.
Good, good, good.
And I studied for 4 years at Vassar.
Vassar, that's a girl's school, isn't it?
Yes.
Good.
That's where I learned to defend myself.
Oh, I see.
Here, here.
Where?
No.
Yes, sir, I know my law. Why, at one time, they even wanted me to become a judge.
You got plenty to put on the bench.
There's quite a jury box you've got in front there, too.
Jury box.
I am a slob.
Yes, I think that's it. Well, now, we shouldn't talk lightly about the judiciary. After all, the judge is a very important man.
Oh, he is.
Oh, yes, of course. You know, when he enters the courtroom, you stand up, though. You know why?
I got his seat?
No. Mortimer, you're as stupid as the day I met you.
Well, it's nice to know I ain't losing any ground. Yeah.
I must say, Professor Kirkwood, you certainly don't talk like a lawyer. You know something? I don't think you've even passed the bar.
I did, too. As soon as I leave here, I'm going back for another short one.
Yeah. I say, old boy, you must be planning to appear before a high court.
Oh.
Well, you didn't get that, didn't you? I mean, high court.
Gentlemen, I must say I'm disappointed at your lack of legal knowledge.
Now, just a second, Baldy Lock.
No.
I suppose you know more.
Why, certainly. For instance, a subpoena is a paper that is served when a man is having legal trouble. Now, you know what that means, don't you, Mortimer?
What?
Well, you don't know.
Well, give it to me again, will you?
Well, when a man is having legal trouble, what does that mean?
Well, that means he's having trouble with his legal. No.
The man has no legal.
Well,
he has no legal.
Well, there's his trouble right there. I say, speaking of legal trouble, a cousin of mine has been lying low all week.
Lying low? Is he a criminal?
No, the slats fell out of his bed. I say, old boy, that was a... Let me look for it.
Oh, that was a sleeper, all right.
Yeah. It really was. Hey, look, Noble. Why don't you get along?
I was.
Well, you can come back. Go find out where the yellow went, will you?
Gentlemen, gentlemen, please. We're not making any headway.
Don't have any heads.
Well, we're here to discuss,
He doesn't know.
Oh, what was it now? With a crime. Yes. Now, Professor Kirkwood, what do you have to say about crime?
I like it.
Oh. That's a terrible thing to say. As a law-abiding citizen, it is our duty always to fight crime.
You should talk with your show, boy. You've been getting away with murder for years.
That's remarkably witty.
Oh, you like it?
Yes. The slats fell out of his bed. Oh.
Brain. There's a flying red horse leaving for England. Why don't you get on it?
Now, please, we must treat this subject seriously. Remember, gentlemen, crime is an ever-increasing menace.
Well, only this morning when I got up, I thought I was kidnapped.
Is that so?
Yeah. I looked in my bed and I wasn't there.
Oh.
Fell out too.
Well, there they are, folks. Lum and abnormal.
All right. Please, we must realize that problems exist. Many pickpockets and people, other people who take things, do so simply because they're kleptomaniacs, you see.
Say, oh boy, look, I know a chap who's a maniocleptic.
A maniocleptic?
Yes. He brings things back.
Oh.
Brings things back. Hey, Ray. Do me a favor. When you take a bath tonight...
Yes, my boy.
Don't fight the current. Go on down the drain.
Gentlemen, our purpose here tonight is to discuss ways of reducing crime. Professor Snerd, would you like to delineate?
No, I feel fine.
Well, anyway, one suggestion that has been made is that increased training for our detectives and police would help lower the crime rates.
I bet I could be one of them there detectives. You know, a private eyesore.
Yeah. All right, let's see how you gentlemen would go about solving a crime. Well, let's take a case. Start out from, start from scratch is a good place.
From where? From scratch. Okay, where do you itch? I don't know.
Supposing this was a serious crime, like murder, what's the first thing you would do?
Oh, that's obvious, old boy. You question the dead man.
No. You look for the clues, gentlemen. Look clues, for the clues. For instance, if you found a bent hairpin, what would you do?
Look for a criminal with bent hair.
Oh, no. That will do, panel. You are revealing yourselves to be insensate, inexpedient, obtrusive, vertiginous, and spurious.
Mary, what was that?
Merryweather. Fallacious, puerile,
I'd like to meet her.
Platitudinous.
Go ahead, keep going.
Shut up.
Hello there, this is John Heaston with news of a wonderful free offer from the makers of CBS TV sets. You know, as we've been telling you, these new CBS TV sets are the only sets ever made with all 9 of television's most wanted advances. You've heard Arthur Godfrey rave about them. You've seen them advertised in Life magazine. Now the CBS people want you to see them in person. They want you to learn what a joy TV can be with all 9 of these important advances. So they're making a mighty tempting free offer. You go see these new CBS TV sets at your dealers, and you'll receive, without any cost or obligation, a free gift of fabulous Sortilege perfume.
Sortilege perfume? Come on, Bergen, let's go.
Well, Charlie, we're on the air.
Well, as soon as we get off, then let's go, huh?
Well, okay. And, folks, why don't you go down to your dealers and see these great new CBS TV sets and get your free gift of Sortilege perfume? But do it soon. The supply is limited.
Yeah, Bergen means shake a leg.
And now it's time for another bit of sage advice from our rural philosopher, Mortimer. And here he is with Snurd's words for the birds.
There are lots of things better than money. The only trouble is they all cost money.
Thank you, Mortimer, and until next Sunday, good night, everyone.
Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Sturt, Ray Noble, and the entire ensemble next Sunday at the same time. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Jack Kirkwood, Carol Richards, Rudy Whistler, and the Mellow Men was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce. Script by Cy Rowe, Dino Twinker, and Hilda Black. Incidentally, you're listening to us in your car. Take it easy and drive carefully. Take a tip from the truck drivers. They know the rules and they drive by them. This is John Heaston speaking.